We are in Isaiah chapter 58 today. Isaiah chapter 58, 14 verses. Predominantly what you're going to be studying in this passage is the acceptable fast. The acceptable fast. You're going to notice here that Israel was fasting, but not in a way that was acceptable to the Lord, and you're going to see why as we study the passage. Isaiah chapter 58, verses 1 through 14. And let's go ahead and read that passage. We'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll go right into our study this morning. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 1. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Now here's what Israel says. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure and exact all your labors, the Lord says. Behold, you fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out of thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke and the putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light arise in obscurity and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places, and they shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. Now he changes the subject to the Sabbath and speaks in some similar terms. He says, If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Now, there you go. Now he lays that out for them and explains to them the benefits of fasting in the proper way and the problems of fasting the way they were. And so we're going to discuss that this morning. But before we go any further, let's have a word of prayer. Ask the Lord to guide us through this study today and help us to understand what we're reading. David, pray for us, please. Amen. Amen. All right, now in this chapter, the Lord's going to expose the unacceptable fast that Israel has been keeping, and he's going to explain to them why it's unacceptable. He's going to explain to them the acceptable fast that they should practice or have, and he's going to express to them, or does express to them, the benefits of doing that. Now, when he starts, notice what he tells Isaiah in verse 1. He says, Cry aloud. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression. He's saying, you know what, don't go just to a few people. He says, cry aloud where everybody can hear it and make it plain, make it known like a trumpet. You know, in war, a trumpet sounds above the din of battle so that all the soldiers know what the trumpeter is calling? What command is coming? Is it a retreat? Is it to reorganize? Is it to meet in a rendezvous point? Is it to attack? Whatever. So he says, when you cry, cry aloud, cry like a trumpet. He said, I want everybody to know what the problem is here. And so there'd be no mistake what the Lord is saying. And he says, show Israel, show my people their transgression, and let the house of Jacob, and show the house of Jacob their sins. Now, here's the problem. In verse 2, they acted like people that really wanted to know the Lord. See what they said here? They seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They asked me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Now, you would think that's a good thing. But when you see the contrast in the rest of the chapter, you realize that that's not a good thing. You know what that is? That's like religious people who have gone to church today to fulfill their religious obligation. They're acting like people who really want to know God. And there are a lot more people in churches today who are lost than then are saved. And so what was happening is they were just demonstrating a religious piety. What it is really is they wanted God to be impressed with how godly they appeared. I'll show you, there's a verse in the New Testament that really exposes this attitude. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 starts out being a passage about the perilous times. Well, we certainly are in the last days. I don't know if that's 100 years or 5 minutes, but you know, somewhere in the coming future, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return, and we're seeing evidence of the perilous times right now that you see in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Well, notice that one of the evidences of the perilous times is this form of godliness. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And he says to turn away from those. So this was what was going on in Israel. There was a religious piety, but there was no power. And God did not find acceptable what they were doing. So what Isaiah is going to do is he's going to contrast their ways of fasting with the acceptable fast of the Lord, so they'll know the difference between what they're doing and what God wanted them to do, and they'll know the benefit of what God wants them to do versus the futility of what they were doing. All right, now, first of all, let's look at what we'll call the unacceptable fast. The unacceptable fast. In verse 3, the Jews are complaining to God because their fast wasn't getting God's attention. They said, wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? We've done this now, and you're not doing anything, Lord. We've rubbed the lamp, and the Aladdin hadn't come out. So, you know, what's the problem here? And the Lord said there's several problems. First of all, he said, one of the problems is, in verse 3, in the day of your fast you find pleasure. He said that's not a real affliction of your soul. That's not real approach to God. It's like a party to you. You find pleasure. Now, you know something? That's the same kind of thing that we need to be careful of. Even today, we're going to make some spiritual application while we're looking at the doctrinal application. But don't you know that church has been moved over to 6 o'clock on Saturday night so that people can still go out late Saturday night and party and do all the other stuff and sleep it off Sunday morning? We want to have our pleasure, but we want to do our time with God too. In Mark chapter 4, when the sower is sowing seed, and there is seed that begins to take root and starts to bear fruit, and then it gets choked. You know what chokes it? The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in. Choke the word and it becometh unfruitful. That's what they were having here. They were doing their own pleasure, that is, we're fasting. We're going to keep doing just what we've been doing. We want you to respond to this. And the Lord wasn't going to do that. Another problem they had is they were exacting all their labor. He says in verse 3, and exact all your labors. So nothing stopped. How many of you remember in the United States the blue laws? Yeah, this is the adult Sunday school class. The kids are over there. They don't know. They wouldn't have a clue what I'm talking about. Blue laws. And the blue laws, what'd that do? That shut down a lot of commerce and merchandising on Sundays. Now, what happened there? That's all gone. Why? Because people, in order to continue to turn another buck and make all the money that they want to make and all the money they need to make to pay back their creditors, had to keep on working. Work all night, work all day, even on Sunday. Okay? And so that's what the Lord said here. You hadn't stopped anything. You do it just like you did before you started the fast, and everything, all your work, everything continues just like it was. He says, as a matter of fact, look at the fruit of what you're doing. Verse 4, he says, behold, you fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. In other words, it's not changing you a bit. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. You know, the purpose of fasting, it's not to change God. Purpose of fasting is change us. Now, I realize God answers prayer in a fast, but the purpose, you know, the people that fast change. Galatians chapter 5, he says you fast for strife and debate and for the fist of wickedness. Galatians chapter 5 describes in verse 19 the works of the flesh. Verse 19 talks about some sexual problems. But then look at verse 20. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath. Look at that next word. Strife, seditions, heresies, and so forth down there. As he said, all these things are the works of the flesh. God's not impressed with that. We'll get to it at the end of the deal. That's Galatians chapter 5, verse 20. So that was the problem there. And he talks in James chapter 3 about two kinds of wisdom. And he says, I'll tell you, if you've got the wrong kind of wisdom, it's earthly, sensual, and devilish. You know why? Strife, envyings, bitterness, evil works, that kind of thing results. It wasn't changing Israel at all. It wasn't helping them a bit. So they fasted for strife and they fasted for debate. Notice something else back here in Isaiah chapter 58. Notice another problem. He said, he says in verse 5, is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? You know what he's talking about here? This is a show. This is a show. They get all the right elements of the thing going on so that everybody can come take a look at this fast. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. This went on during the times of Jesus Christ. They were still doing the same thing. And so Jesus Christ had to warn his disciples against doing this kind of fasting. Now, the lesson today is going to show you some things. Probably you ought to have another study soon about fasting and the benefits of fasting and prayer. Totally different study than the one today. Today we're trying to learn what he's saying in Isaiah 58, but in the next study what we can do is one that shows you how God wants us to fast and the benefits of fasting and prayer spiritually. Be a good follow-up study to this one. Matthew chapter 6, notice in verse 16, the Lord's, you know, giving all kinds of instructions to his disciples, and look what he says about fasting. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 16, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face. In other words, don't put on a show. Clean up. That thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So he said, don't worry about all these ashes and sackcloth and all this show. He said, I'm not impressed with that. Look in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, here's another Pharisee, and he in this passage in Luke chapter 18 is being compared to a publican. And notice what he says about himself when he's presenting his case before the Lord. Luke chapter 18, verse 10, just so you get the context. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other a publican. Verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus. What's the next word? Two words. With himself. Isn't that interesting? God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. As if, God, you're to be impressed with that. Publican standing afar off would not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven, smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So what they were exalting themselves in their piety. Do you see that? You see that? That's not uncommon today. When we've traveled around in various parts of the world, you see people when they come to their temple, and it is all religious piety, and it's all to appease that God. It's all to try to gain favor. And the real God does not find favor in all of that or any of it. They fasted for show, as if God could be impressed. So he says, you know, I don't, we're not doing anything with that. He said, let me show you the acceptable fast. And this is what Isaiah goes on to do. So that's kind of the elements of the unacceptable fast. And the Lord says, let me show you what the acceptable fast is. He says in verse 6, is not this the fast that I have chosen? And then he starts going through and he starts talking about some things that they should do. He says, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? That is, as if, I mean, we are our own flesh when we're brothers in Christ. You're your own flesh when you have family members, okay? So he's talking about, man, you know, you're not going to hide your face from the family members that need help. He said, now that's the kind of thing I'm interested in, something that changes you. Now let's look at some things. He says here to undo the heavy burdens. All right, let's look at a few passages. Turn to Nehemiah chapter 5. You're in Isaiah. You got to go left to get to Nehemiah. His name sounds like one of the prophets, but he's actually before Job. He's before the Psalms and Job. He's before Esther and Ezra. Nehemiah. After Ezra and before Esther. Nehemiah, and look at chapter 5. Nehemiah chapter 5. Now, when Nehemiah gets back to Jerusalem after the captivity, things are a mess. And the Jews in Nehemiah chapter 5 are under a tribute that's so heavy, they have to borrow money to pay it. Nehemiah chapter 5, look at verses 3 and 4. Some also there were that said, we've mortgaged our lands, vineyards, and houses that we might buy corn because of the dearth. There were also that said, we have borrowed money for the king's tribute, and that upon our lands and our vineyards. I mean, they were really, really oppressed and stressed. So, you know what Nehemiah said? He said in verse 10, I likewise and my brethren and my servants might exact of them money and corn. I pray you, let us leave off this usury. Restore, I pray you, to them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their olive yards, and their houses, also the hundredth part of the money and of the corn, the wine, the oil that you exact of them. Then said they, we will restore them, and we will require nothing of them. So will we do as thou saidst. Then I called the priest and took an oath of them that they should do according to this promise. You see, they were, man, I mean, it was heavy. Now, in our country today, we're under taxes and expenses are going to continue to rise. You know what that means, right? Eventually, taxes are going to rise to meet the level of expenses. And it gets heavy. It's heavy now and it's going to get heavier. And what Isaiah was saying to these guys is, you are already putting a weight on these guys. I'm interested in a fast where you let the thing go. Look in Jeremiah chapter 34. Jeremiah chapter 34. Now, Jeremiah chapter 34, and look at verses 8 through 11. In Jeremiah's day, right before the captivity, approximately 100 years after Isaiah is prophesying. They're still dealing with the same problem. They didn't listen to Isaiah. Jeremiah chapter 34, look in verse 8. This is the word that came unto Jeremiah from the Lord. After that, the king Zedekiah had made a covenant with all the people which were at Jerusalem to proclaim liberty to them, that every man should let his manservant and every man his maidservant, being in Hebrew and Hebrewess, go free, that none should serve himself of them, to wit, of a Jew his brother. Now they were never to put, according to the law, they were never to put a Jew under bond service. They could bring him in as a hired servant, but never under bond service. Verse 10, now when all the princes and all the people which had entered into the covenant heard that everyone should let his manservant and everyone his maidservant go free, that none should serve themselves of them any more, then they obeyed and let them go. But look at verse 11. But afterward they turned and caused the servants and the handmaids whom they had let go free to return and brought them into subjection for servants and for handmaids. You see the problem? And the Lord knows all this. He said, guys, you're going to have to cut that out. If you want to get my interest by fasting, do this. Stop this nonsense. Do you think it changed by the time Jesus Christ came here? Not really. Look in Matthew chapter 23 with the Pharisees. Men, when they have rule over men, have a tendency to be oppressive. It's just the way it is. And the Pharisees were no different. Matthew chapter 23. Now Jesus Christ is speaking in verse 1, verse 2, watch what he says. Matthew chapter 23, verse 2, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, the seat of authority. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you, observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say, and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men, that they make broad their phylacteries, enlarge the borders of their garments, love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues, and so forth and so on. And that's these guys that Isaiah is preaching to. Same problem all the way through. The Lord says that you want to fast, I'll tell you what, loose the bands of wickedness and undo the heavy burdens and let the oppressed go free. Break every yoke and all deal thy bread to the hungry and all that. Now watch. One more time, let's look in Matthew chapter 25 and notice one other thing. There's going to be a judgment of the nations when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Okay? There's going to be a judgment of the nations. And I'm just showing you this passage. It's not really the same preaching that Isaiah is doing, but it's similar enough so you get the picture. When the nations of the earth are judged after the tribulation, by the Lord, when He's sitting in His throne of glory. That's Matthew 25:31. The Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the angels with Him. Then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. Before Him shall be gathered all nations. Now He's going to judge them. Notice how He judges them. He says in verse 34, right in the middle, come you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now watch it. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. You see, the Lord is interested in nations doing this for Israel. You would know for sure then He would be interested in His own people doing it for Israel. Do you see? They said to the Lord in Matthew chapter 25, when did we see you hungry and so forth? And in verse 40, He said, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. Now, if He's going to hold the nations at His judgment responsible for treating those Jews in accordance with these things, you know for sure He's going to hold His own people to it. And that's what He's getting on them for right here. He says, because you're not changing, you're not quitting your wickedness, you're still abusing your employees, you're oppressing the poor, you're keeping your bond servants, you won't give to the poor, you won't bring the poor home with you, you won't clothe the naked. I'm not impressed, he says. All right, now, he says if you'll do all these things, verse 8, there's going to be some very, very positive results. And we can look both at the practical results And we can look at the spiritual results of this. Notice what he says in verse 8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. And he reminds them, if thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger and the speaking of vanity, if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness shall be as noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they shall be of thee. They that should be of thee shall build thee old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. Thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. Now those are all very positive things. The Lord said, if you fast the way I want you to fast and take care of these things, then there are going to be some really good things that result from this. All right, first of all, he says in verse 8, thy light break forth as the morning. Some of these we'll cross-reference and some of these we'll just talk about. Do you ever read your Bible? Yeah, everybody just do this. Even if you don't, just do this. Yeah, we read it. If nothing else, you're reading it right now. Amen. Okay, sure. Amen. We're saved, preacher. We read the Bible. Of course we do. Amen. Do you always get something out of it? No, some of you be honest and, oh man, a lot of times I don't. You know what fasting helps to do? It helps you to be able to see what's in that book a little clearer. The light breaks forth. What did he say? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple. You know what it does? It kind of clears out, for some reason, clears out those things that oftentimes restrain us. You know, one of the things that interferes with our Bible reading is distractions. And the other thing that interferes with our Bible reading is sleepiness. Just kind of, every time I read, I just, all right. You know what? If you quit eating for about a day and then start to read your Bible, you won't be as sleepy. And you won't be as distracted. Oh, you'll be hungry, but... What did he say? The full soul loatheth the honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. You get a little hungry, get more light. Okay? He says, then shall thy light break forth as the morning. What did Jesus Christ say to Israel and in that Sermon on the Mount to those Jews that he was teaching? Didn't he say, you are the light of the world? Our light shines forth more as a result of fasting as well. When these other things are cleared away that you've seen in the passage of Scripture here. Another thing he says here, he says, thy light shall break forth as the morning. Then he says, thy health shall spring forth speedily. Now, I don't understand completely all there is to know about this, but turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. If you have health problems, what do? Well, you ignore them because you don't want to go to the doctor and find out that they're serious. Isn't that the right thing to do? It's, oh man, I don't feel good. Did you go to the doctor to see about that? No. How many people have ever, I mean, I'm not asking you to show your hands here. I don't want you to reveal this. You've had a severe chest pain and somebody said, well, let's go to the doctor. He said, no, just take me home. Just take me home. I'll be all right. This will pass. It's probably just indigestion. Okay? No, if you have health problems, generally, I'm trying to be a little facetious here. Generally, you go to the doctor, find out what you have wrong with you. But you know something? Look at this thing here in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Why? Verse 8, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. You know, there's a connection, and I'm not sure what it is. There is a connection between your health and the Bible and the fear of the Lord. Now, I could say this. Some people will tell you that people have some health problems that result from they call them psychosomatic problems. In other words, you weigh yourself down mentally with things, and next thing you know, they manifest themselves in physical problems. Well, don't believe for a minute that that's why you're experiencing the health problem that you're doing if you need to go see a doctor. But what I'm saying, when you go to see the doctor to find out what the deal is, why don't you also go see what the Bible has to say? You know? Is it okay? Are we getting through here? Check both. Because you may find that the Lord will deal with you about certain matters in the Scriptures. And it's what he says here. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. You can see the same thing here. You know what I'm saying? Look what he's saying here in verse 8 of Isaiah chapter 58. He's saying, guys, if you will start doing these things the way that I want you to do them instead of doing them the way you want to do them to impress me, and if you'll let this worry about your labor and your pleasure and all that go and start taking care of some other people who are burdened because of your oppression and hungry because they don't have food, you know what's going to happen? Your health is going to spring forth. It's going to help you. I don't think I could. I'll give you a cross reference here. Go with me to Leviticus chapter 26. I think there's something like that here. Leviticus chapter 26. All right, Leviticus chapter 26 is one of these passages. And the other one, you can see a little of it here, and another one is in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Let me see which one has the passage that I'm looking for. All right, both of these promise blessings to Israel if they do what God wants, and then bad things to Israel if they don't do what God wants. All right? Look with me in Leviticus chapter 26. And he says in verse 3, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, I'll give you rain in the due season. The land shall yield her increase. The trees of the field shall yield their fruit. And he goes on talking about the blessings on the land in verse 5 and verse 6. He says, I'm going to get rid of the evil beast and the sword in your land. And in bless your military in verse 8. And then he gets down here and he keeps talking about the blessings. And then you get down to verse 14. But he said, if you will not hearken to me, will not do all these commandments, and you despise my statutes and break my covenant, then I'm going to do some bad things. One of the first things he says, look at this in verse 16, I will also do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague, a bad fever, that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and you shall sow in your seed in vain, your enemies shall eat it. So they begin immediately experiencing health problems in verse 16. And then when you go to Deuteronomy chapter 28, the other place where he does this, you see the same thing. He says, okay, in the one hand, if you do what I want you to do, everything's going to be fine. If you don't do what I want you to do, bad things are going to start happening to you. And look at some of the bad things that happen. He says in verse 27 of Deuteronomy verse 22, he says, the Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, with a fever, with an inflammation, with an extreme burning, and also with the sword blasting and mildew. And then he says in verse 27, the Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, with the emerods, with the scab and the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. And he goes through and describes some other health-related problems. And he says, just because of your disobedience. Can you think of any passage in the New Testament where the same thing is true? Where men get sick because they're not doing something the way God wants them to do it? Can anybody think of a passage like that? Even some of them were dying because they weren't doing something the way God wanted them to do. Do you remember the passage? Lord's Supper. Lord's Supper. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, they weren't doing the Lord's Supper the way that God gave that instruction to Paul. And he said, for this cause, some of you are sick, some of you are weak, and some of you are dying. Sleep, he said. So yes, in other words, he's saying to the Jews here, some of your health problems are related to the fact that you're disobeying me. Now, I'm being careful when I present that to you here, because you could go and say, I'm just going to go quit seeing my doctor and start reading my Bible. And I'm not saying that. But I'm saying when you go see your doctor, don't quit reading your Bible. Because sometimes those things are related. So he says, your light will break forth, your health will spring forth speedily. Thy righteousness shall go before thee. Is that important? Absolutely. Absolutely. Look in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 28. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 28. Your righteousness needs to go before you. In the case of the Jews, it really did. Because, listen, if, as long as they would walk in that righteousness, they would be fine. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 28. The Lord says, in the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. So he says, your righteousness is going to go before you. That way it gives you something to follow to keep you out of trouble. And he said, if you'll fast the way I want you to, that's what's going to happen. Then back in Isaiah chapter 58, in verse 8, he says, the glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. You know about the military, right? The military, you've got the guys that fight on the front, and then you've got the rearward. You have to be protected in case something comes in behind you. You also have to have the flanks protected. Can you remember a time when the Lord was the rearward for Israel? Vividly? When? When they came out of Egypt. They followed him. He was a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. When Pharaoh came with his chariots, what happened to the Lord? He went where? He went behind them. That's right. And then he cast a shadow out over the Jews, over the Pharaoh and their guys, so they couldn't see. But he was a light to Israel. And that way, when the Red Sea parted, they could get across on the other side. When morning broke, they were gone. And then the Egyptians followed him into the Red Sea, and that's where they drowned. You need a rearward. We say today, I got your back. That's a rearward. And that's what the Lord said. And he says, the glory of the Lord will be the rearward. That glory of the Lord appeared to them in the pillar of that cloud and the pillar of that fire. And he says, you start fasting, the glory of the Lord will be your rearward. That's you. You know, listen, if anybody needs to have your back, it's God. Okay? And he said, do that. He said then in verse 9, he said, then thou shalt thou call and the Lord shall answer. Who wouldn't want an answer to prayer? You know something, when you read through the Bible, you're going to see several people fasting. We'll talk about it. We're going to do another lesson on fasting next week, because I know some of you are real curious. How could we be involved in this? And we'll take up the next lesson, make it very practical, and we'll go through all of this. But you know what you're going to see in that lesson? You're going to see Esther and her maidens and Mordecai and the Jews fasted for 3 days and 3 nights, and God did some miraculous work in Ahasuerus' kingdom, and Haman was destroyed. There was another time when the king had to put Daniel in the lion's den because of the decree, realized he'd been set up by Daniel's enemies, but he stayed up all night fasting, and God spared Daniel that night. And boy, that king came out a little bit hungry, and he said, all right, now we're going to punish the guys that did this. They threw them all in the lion's den with their families, and they didn't even make it to the bottom of the den before those lions had broken their bones. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Those Jews were having, the disciples were having trouble casting a devil out of a young boy when Jesus Christ and Peter, James, and John were on the Mount of Transfiguration. And it came down and they said, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus Christ told them, this kind cometh not forth but by prayer and fasting. You see that? So the Lord said, I'll answer. But then he also said, that in verse 9, thou shalt cry and he shall say, here I am. We have a promise in the New Testament where two or three are gathered together in my name. There I am in the midst. And he says, you know what? Your fellowship with God, he's talking to the Jews here, your fellowship with God will improve if you'll fast. Because I'll be there. Right now, I don't much like feel like being with you. If thou take away from, we're still in verse 9, if thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, we've talked about the finger, the vanity, draw out thy soul to the hungry, verse 10, satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light arise in obscurity and darkness shall be as the noonday. And that's a good thing. When your darkness is a noonday, you'd never have any qualms about where you are. The problem with transgressors is they walk and can't see where they're going. And the Lord said, you won't be in that situation. Okay? He goes on to say in verse 11, the benefits of this kind of fasting he's telling them to do, the Lord shall guide thee continually. How great is that? So you know where you're going. Satisfy thy soul in drought. That's an interesting thing, because what he's saying is, I'm not going to lift the drought, but when it's on, I'm going to satisfy your soul. Make fat thy bones. Well, some of us, we're already there. Be like a watered garden, a spring of water whose waters fail not. And we'll look into some of this next week. We'll go into some of these and make some more spiritual applications. The Bible says about the presence of the Holy Spirit in us that out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water, like he's promising here. Well, you know, that's when you're filled with the Spirit. Some of us, we're dried up. Sometimes dried up. All right. In the verse 12, he says, they'll build the old waste places, raise up the foundations, many generations. Thou shalt be called the repair of the breach, the restorer of the paths to dwell in. Well, that all happened in Nehemiah and Ezra's day. And brother, they were fasting. They did. And God blessed them to rebuild that wall and rebuild that temple. So let's go down to then verses 13 and 14. He just applies some of the same things here to their treatment of the Sabbath. He said, that's your treatment of the fast. Let me talk to you about your treatment of the Sabbath. He says, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day. Again, they're to afflict their souls and not work on the Sabbath. And these guys were like, we're going 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I mean, that's the expression of this generation, right? We even have it abbreviated. We want to say it so fast. How is it? 24/7. And the Lord's like, you know what? No. 12/6. Get you some rest in the nighttime, and on the seventh day, nothing. Just rest. Call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. Do you know something? If you and I could just delight ourselves in the Lord, we'd never be plagued again by all these other temptations. But we want to find our delight in so many other things. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Now, there's a lot of things to say about the Sabbath, but there's not any more time to say about the Sabbath. I'll just tell you, if direct your thoughts, go over to Nehemiah and read what he had to deal with the Jews on the Sabbath, when they were doing it. What they were doing is the same thing we're doing in our country now. Nehemiah chapter 10 and Nehemiah chapter 13 are the two places to go. And you'll read that for yourself. You'll see how they were abusing that Sabbath and how when they got it straightened out, God really blessed them. But let's close now with prayer so we got time to take a little break. Father, we're thankful today for the opportunity to go through these scriptures and see what you have to say. And God, help us. Help us to keep from having a form of godliness that we can do what you want us to do your way. And with that, be pleased, for Jesus' sake. Amen.